World. I'm John Batchelor. The Russian economy under severe sanctions. The Russian economy in wartime. The Russian economy is an explanation not for Russia making money, but for Wall Street making money. I go to Bloomberg. Wall Street reaped ruble fortune on clients fleeing Russia. Kazakh Armenian banks acted as go-betweens, according to sources for Bloomberg. Other banks avoided trade for compliance reasons. Now, this story has a wonderful opening. There is complaining that the earnings for the big banks are not rosy this year. And the explanation from the big banks is, well, we don't have Russia to make money on. Michael Bernstam, he is at the Hoover Institution. He's my guide on the Russian economy. This story made me laugh at first, Michael, because the big banks are rationalizing why they didn't make as much money as last year, and they're blaming Russia for not providing more crises and ruble trade. What was the ruble trade they're bragging about they made so much money on last year? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. And on another story, let me start with the most striking statistic, which I saw today, that the sales of birth control means in Russia suddenly increased by 50 to 60%. That means that people don't want to make a long-term investment in children because they expect that this war will last. And this data in a non-democratic country shows us what is the real attitude of the common folks about the war and about what is going on, because they are effectively voting about the future expectations, and those expectations are very, very sad. Now, going back to the dollar and to the banks, what happens is that once Russia, after the sanctions were imposed to save its foreign exchange reserves, what's left of them, made the ruble not convertible, and it was very hard to convert the rubles into the dollars and dollars into the rubles, immediately the neighboring countries and Western banks immediately, entrepreneurially, started to enter the market. And what happened was that several major companies, BP and others, which wanted to leave Russia, they needed to take out their money, and they wanted to exchange the rubles that they sold their assets. They wanted to exchange it for the dollars. At the same time, the people who brought their imports into Russia, they got lots of rubles, and people who were exporting, they got a lot of dollars, and this exchange started, and they could have a much better deal not in Russia, but outside of Russia, and they used various countries, especially Kazakhstan and Armenia, they used for as middlemen to have commissions, and some American banks, not all, but JP Morgan and Citi and Goldman Sachs started to participate in this game, and they made altogether 6 billion rubles. But the Russian government, that's their own thing. The Russian government helped them. The Russian government helped American banks to make money because the Russian government suddenly demanded in March 2022 that all customers who are buying Russian natural gas have to pay in rubles. And so the special accounts were opened in a bank in Moscow, Bank for Foreign Trade, where they could bring their dollars in exchange for rubles. And the rate was not very good, and they didn't trust that bank. So they started to do it differently. So everyone who wanted to sell rubles went to Armenia and Kazakhstan. Those sold rubles to JP Morgan and Citi and Goldman Sachs. And they sold rubles to American companies. They sold rubles to companies, Western European companies, who wanted to buy Russian natural gas. And so the Russian government effectively helped, this is the ironic part of it, so the Russian government could wear this cap saying, make Goldman Sachs rich again.
Yes, the stark rise in earnings. This is Wall Street banks reap billions trading rubles. Banks exploited relationships with ex-Soviet counterparts. In 2018, the banks collectively made $1.5 billion in the ruble trade. In 2022, they made $6 billion. That's why they're apologizing to their stockholders. We go now to the Russian economy itself, because Michael has guided me to understand there's inflation. Inflation right now in front of us of the ruble. At one point early in the war, when Michael and I were talking, it was trading somewhere around 60 per dollar. It's now more than 90. Michael will explain. And there's worse much more inflation in the future because the Russian government, according to the New York Times report, is pouring rubles into its economy, subsidizing mortgages, subsidizing businesses, handing out money. And they're not calling it stimulus money. They're just calling it straight up subsidizing. Michael, what is this doing to the ruble? What will it do to the ruble?
Well, if we look at the last year and a half, what happened when the war started in late February 2022, immediately there was a panic. There was a run on the banks. People started to withdraw dollars, and the exchange rate, immediately the ruble collapsed, and it was close to 150 to 200 rubles for the dollar. The government immediately imposed restrictions. The ruble is no longer convertible. The dollar is, they cannot freely buy dollars. And by the summer, and then there was, of course, oil prices went up continuously. And in the summer of 2022, there was 50 rubles for the dollar. It was the best rate in years. Now it is 93 rubles for the dollar officially with the central bank, 94 in the currency exchange. So today, the euro, which is another major Western currency, broke the barrier. It is a psychological barrier. It is now over 100 rubles for the euro. So it is a 54% decline in the exchange rate of the ruble. The ruble weakened. In this situation, the Russian government is trying to support the ruble, so they are doing all sorts of things that they prevent all sorts of capital flight and are trying to collect as much in dollars tax revenues from their oil exporters as they can. And this is the situation in which the situation will deteriorate. No one expects it to get better because oil prices under the cap, under the restriction, despite the oil prices everywhere going a bit up, and the Russian government does not collect sufficient foreign exchange revenues. At the same time, the government is indeed printing rubles to finance not so much even consumer expenditures as the military industry. And that's a stimulus, the stimulus to be used for economic growth, but after a year or so, it ends up in high inflation and it adds up an acceleration of the price level.
So we can expect that the ruble will continue to weaken over these next years because of the policy of the Russian government. And what it's now through 100 for the euro. Can we expect it to go to 200 the way it did that weekend of the Prigozhin mutiny?
Each time there is a panic, they go up significantly, but it is a very, very slow but steady slide of the currency, yes.
And this means that the Russian people are aware of the inflation, and yet they can't do anything about it because their money's trapped inside. They can't get it out.
Well, the Russian people, what the Russian people are doing, that they are opening more accounts in foreign banks when they can. And the estimate is that in the last year and a half, $160 billion left by private citizens, by private companies, left Russia in a capital outflow.
Michael Bernstab, my guide on the Russian economy under severe sanctions in wartime. Wall Street is boasting, but also rationalizing why it didn't make as much money on the ruble trade this year as it did in 2022. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Beck.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.